What is up, everybody? I'm Kobe Clark, and welcome into this NFL Draft Prospects Preview. Pretty much, we're going to go out through the next 3 or 4 days talking about everything draft-wise. And to start it off, Zion and Philip are with me. Zion Brown, Philip Collins, say hello.
Hey.
What's going on, guys?
Yep, we are currently in our own safe homes during this quarantine time. And we're just doing this over Streamlabs OBS, over Discord, so it's the easiest way we found to do it. But first off, we're just going to talk about some just a little simple stuff, and that's some previews. What do you guys think in this year's draft? Who is some sleepers or like some guys who are just not getting the respect that they deserve? I'll start off with you, Zion.
My guy would be Andrew Thomas, the left tackle from Georgia. Here's a guy, he started from his freshman year at Georgia, at a big-time program, started all 3 years, and he was very dominant the whole time he was there. So I think a lot of people are sleeping on him. You know, I've seen him fall out the top 10 because there are a lot of tackles, but I would have him as the first tackle off the board, so I think he is a little bit slept on. What about you, Philip?
I mean, when I think of people that are slept on, there's obviously you have many guys who are without a doubt first round prospects that go second, third round just because injury history and whatnot, and they're just being depth at the position. But one guy that's really stuck out to me, you know, I'm an avid Colts fan, and everybody knows that the Colts need a receiver and they need a big body receiver. And I feel like the best fit for the Colts and a guy that's really slept on is Michael Pittman Jr. You know, his dad was a great running back, I believe, with the Buccaneers. He's 6'4". He's got good hands. He might not be, you know, the explosive athlete as of someone like CeeDee Lamb or Jerry Jeudy and those guys, but he's a guy who is certainly athletic enough to play in the league. He goes up. He creates good separation, and he really goes up and snags those, you know, 50-50 balls. He's just a guy, you know, watching videos. He seems like a high-character guy, a guy that Chris Ballard would like. Just one of my favorite prospects. But yeah, that's my take.
Yeah, staying on the same track as Philip was talking about, this wide receiver class could be going down as one of the best receivers class of all time in NFL history. Just some names like Lamb, Jeudy, Higgins, Ruggs, Jefferson, etc. As you said, Pittman, who's slept on, goes to USC. It's going to be interesting. And not only is it the receiver class, but I feel like some individual players who are getting kind of slept on is Terrell from Clemson, because he's had a monster just back-to-back seasons where he's just produced well for the Clemson Tigers. And somewhat I can kind of see Henderson, because a lot of people have him going to the Jacksonville, some people have them going as late as to Dallas, but all I know is it's going to be very interesting to see what this draft will come up with.
Yeah, one other sleeper I want to mention to you guys is Jeremy Chinn. He's a safety out of Southern Illinois. He, if you guys didn't know, he's an Indiana native, graduated from Fishers High School.
Yeah.
He's kind of a raw prospect, but I'm just looking at his measurements. He's 6'3", 221 pounds, 32 1/8 inch arms, and his combine was just absolutely phenomenal. He ran a 4.45, which is decent for a safety, without a doubt. 20 reps at the bench press, which isn't phenomenal, but it's definitely, you know, a good amount for him. 41-inch vertical jump, which is, you know, just astounding. That's like NBA level hops. And his broad jump was 138 inches. So you see a guy who's, you know, big in size, rangy, has his combine blew people out of the water. But the only question on him is, has he played with enough, you know, D1 competition to consider himself at the top tier, because he played for Southern Illinois, which I believe, going off the top of my head, is a D2 college. So you don't play the Clemsons, the Alabamas, unless you just fit in their schedule. But he's another guy that I'm looking forward to seeing do well in the NFL.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You go ahead.
I want to trace back, yeah, Kobe, what you said. I think CJ Henderson could really be a sleeper. I mean, going into his junior year at Florida, I mean, his first 2 years were great. His junior year, he ran into some injuries in 2019, and he really wasn't necessarily the same. But his first 2 years at Florida in the SEC, he was – you basically couldn't throw to his side of the field. He was great in the man coverage. But his big concern is staying healthy and being able to tackle because, you know, there's a lot of great cornerbacks that can defend the pass, but then when a running back comes their way, they're nowhere to be found. So, but I think his potential is could be top five in this whole draft.
Yeah, I could definitely see that in Henderson, as you were just previously saying. Someone who also, I mean, I feel like he doesn't get enough, like, talked about is Trevon Diggs from Alabama, the receiver converted to defensive back, brother of Stephon Diggs, NFL Bills wide receiver. I feel like he's really improved his game ever since he converted over, and he's just kind of my sleeper as well.
Yeah, one thing I want to mention, this cornerback class is just, I feel like after Jeff Okuda, like, I feel like he has too much of the attention.
Yeah.
I feel like people like Henderson and, you know, Diggs really get slept on because you think of Jeff Okuda as this just, like, kind of rare prospect. Like, he has the perfect build, very athletic, has great footwork. No, but he's just one of the top corner prospects I've seen in a few years. And, you know, with him not having, like, penalties last year, he's – I remember there's a combine interview, and he pointed out some facts, said he had no holdings last year, and as well as he had no pass interferences. So that's really impressive. But you guys are definitely right. People like Diggs, Henderson, they're really slept on.
Yeah, I think Okuda, I mean, his technique at his age, at just being – someone who just finished his junior year of college, his form and technique is out of this world. That's something you don't see often, which is why a lot of people have him going top five. And, yeah, deservedly so. And I agree with what you said, Philip. After Okuda, there's some good players in the secondary, but it's kind of like wide open on who's better than who.
I feel like going into the top 10, like what Schefter kind of came out and told us today, a lot of people are trying to trade up and – it could be top 10 heavy with offensive tackles, going back to what Zion mentioned about Thomas. Not only him, but Iowa's Wirfs, Alabama's Wills, Houston's Jones, Louisville's Becton. It's going to be quite an exciting draft because not many people are going to be expecting that much talent at the offensive tackle position going in top 10, but we'll just have to see. But to carry on to the next segment, we're going to talk about surprises. What do you guys think are some huge surprises we could see going into the draft? It could be trades, it could be players falling, it could be players rising. Any thoughts, Philip? You go first.
One thing off the bat, this may not happen, or it may happen. I don't know. I mean, it's kind of a surprise given the quarterbacks, but I could see Herbert getting drafted before Tua. That's my take. You know, it's been talked about. You know, the obvious thing is, oh, they'll probably take Tua, but then there's those, you know, butterflies in the room flying around, and you hear things like, oh, they might also take Herbert. But that's kind of my take. I don't know what will happen, but with the injury concerns, obviously, going with Tua Tagovailoa, I just feel like he's kind of a risk, but if he pays off, he's a good risk. But at the same time, I see a lot of trades in the top 10. More than usual. But yeah, that's kind of my two bullets I wrote down.
Yeah, the Tua situation is going to be extremely interesting because I feel like someone could trade into the top five and pick him. But then on the other hand, I feel like he could have his Aaron Rodgers night where he's sitting there and he doesn't get picked until the 20s because people are just so afraid and concerned of his injuries. And so it'll be an interesting night for him because really I'm not sure he has – if you asked him right now, I'm not sure he really knows where he's going to go, or he couldn't even tell you like where he thinks he's going to go just because there's so much to be seen. And so, yeah, as far as surprises go, I think we could see maybe not a draft pick being traded, but I think we could see a guy like Trent Williams either during the day or during the draft get traded. And I think that would be very interesting because we didn't see him play last year, but before that he had been all pro, Pro Bowler every year for Washington at left tackle, and they could trade him tomorrow during the draft, so that could be very fascinating to see.
Yeah, going back to what you said with Trent Williams getting traded, possibly. I mean, it's kind of a lost cause for the Redskins to keep him. He has went out and said, I believe, that he absolutely refuses to play another game as a part of the Redskins. And, I mean, he's got kind of good cause because, I mean, the situation he was in a couple years back was really life-threatening. But I feel like maybe one of these teams that are looking for offensive tackle early could maybe, you know, trade, fluctuate picks, and just try to acquire him and then make that pick that they have that's in the top 10 or so go somewhere else, which will really shuffle a lot of people's mock drafts.
Yeah, I think going back to Tua and his situation, we all know his injury status. He's posted some videos online showing off his ability and that he's healthy, 100% ready to go, and some people still have some optimism around him and what he's going to be able to do in his first couple of years as quarterback. But I think if he doesn't go 5 to Miami or even 6 to the Chargers, he's going to be sitting pretty, as you said, Zion. It's going to be difficult to see how long he lasts. If someone trades up, we don't know. It's going to be pretty fun, though. I mean, when it comes to also Jordan Love, I don't know if he'll be around one kind of guy unless someone's been really studying him, like maybe the Patriots or even the Saints at 23 and 24. He could be potentially a day two kind of guy.
Yeah, I would definitely agree with that. Jordan Love is a very – he's a very interesting case. He has, you know, the physical tools and the arm just to be great in this league. But, he, you know, he's still got those flaws that need to get corrected by coaching. And I'm pretty sure he had a arrest right before the Senior Bowl. So it would be kind of interesting to see what teams are willing to take a chance, what teams are going for the safe bet. Because, you know, this draft is a lot different from other ones. You know, I just feel like teams aren't going to be more safe than they usually are. Like, you're not going to see guys with, like, a lot of injuries or just, like, a lot of unknowns and red flags get drafted early like you might be seeing in other drafts. Yeah, that's what I think.
Yeah, I definitely am with you on that, Phillip, as, you know, there might be some less risk-taking, but also I feel like just because, you know, usually you go to these combines, which they did do, but usually they go to the pro days, and these scouts, they get in each other's mind. And since most schools didn't have their pro day this year, those scouts weren't around each other. They have to kind of think for themselves. So there could really be a lot of unpredictable things that happen. You know, it's usually there could be – usually everyone kind of knows where each player is going to land, at least the range. But this year I feel like a lot of players could end up in different spots than we expect just because we don't know how each team thinks about each.
Yeah, I'll definitely agree with that. And one thing, you know, the big headline Monday, I believe it was that they tried to do like a mock draft, like simulation, just like run everything, making sure all, you know, everybody had a good amount of Wi-Fi and just everything was working as it should be. And they said there was technical issues in the first pick. What are your guys' thoughts on that? You think it's going to be a lingering problem in tomorrow, or do you think they patched it up?
I feel like once it comes down to it, there's definitely going to be a little bit of bugs and a little bit of glitches. I mean, the internet's not perfect. We're still trying to perfect it in 2020. It's just going to be kind of interesting to see how all this will take place because nothing like this has ever happened before. I just think when it comes down to it, the NFL draft are just going to have a learning process. I mean, obviously they've been practicing well before the draft, which is going to be today. They're just going to have to be ready. Hopefully nothing bad happens, of course, no hackers at all. Just going to have some high real security, but we're just going to see what happens.
Yeah, I watched a little bit of the WNBA draft. There was a little bit of errors, you know, this and that, trying to like connect to the draftees and their reaction. There's a little bit of difficulty with that, but overall, it kind of ran fluid. Both of these are going to be airing through ESPN as one of the sources, so I think the WNBA draft, was a very good indicator, and I think it was a good positive that happened for the NFL draft, just to test out everything.
Yeah, the NFL definitely could have got the blueprint from the WNBA draft, and they probably did, so that was a good thing. I think we'll probably see at least one sort of technical difficulty during the first round. Hopefully it's not too long, you know, that they have to sort it out. I don't think it'll be too long, but I think at least one, maybe two, will happen. But I think overall, I think the teams, I don't think it'll be too difficult for the teams to function and get in their picks and whatnot.
Go ahead, Kobe.
Yeah, but I kind of want to backtrack over to a couple players who stocks have been falling or rising. What are your guys' thoughts on AJ Epizena? Because we all know he was coming into the draft as in the combine as a huge, big prospect, at least top 10, but he kind of didn't do so good at his on the combine. What are you guys' thoughts on his draft stock?
Go ahead, Zion.
Well, I think, I don't know, every time someone has a bad combine, I hate looking too much into it. Like, look at the Ravens. They drafted Orlando Brown a couple of years ago, and he had an awful combine. He was left tackle out of Oklahoma. He had an awful combine. He started both of his years now for the Ravens and been a part of their amazing running game. So looking at something like that, I don't put too much stock into the combine. It's kind of a test, and so I don't put too much stock in that. So I think he would still be a good pick, but who knows? You never know, because sometimes that shows a little bit of laziness on the player's part, that they just came out of shape or something. But overall, I wouldn't be too worried about bad combine numbers.
I mean, the combine has some positives, like the 40-yard dash. I think is very useful in vertical jumps. And I mean, you just see how agile and athletic someone is. But stuff like the bench press reps, I mean, I don't know how that's a true indicator of, you know, just that brute strength. It's not really like a max out. It's just kind of like durability in their muscles. But as I digress, I feel like he's a definitely intriguing prospect. Had a good year last year. 6'6", 280 pounds, just very big body. And with me in D lineman, I'm really fond of people that are like 6'5 plus and just have big frames, because, you know, I just feel like that's just kind of like my archetype for pass rusher. I haven't looked too much into him, but I wouldn't really let the combine distract my focus. I feel like the biggest thing that needs to be looked upon when thinking of a prospect is their film, because that shows them playing ball, not just what they can do in the combine. Does that make sense?
Yeah, for sure. I feel like we're just gonna go ahead and convert over to next segment, talking about how each of our individual teams should do and what could be happening after the draft leading into the season. You guys can start off with the Colts, either one of you.
Oh yeah, I'll go. The Colts, obviously, as most people probably know, they traded their first round to get DeForest Buckner from the 49ers. He was an all-pro defensive tackle in 2018. Still had a good year in 2019 with a few less snaps. And so that was a good trade, I believe, for the Colts. And so, but once again, the Colts are left without a first-round pick for the second year in a row. And they could trade back into the draft, because they do have two second-round picks. So they could trade back into the first round on draft night. We'll just have to see. But looking in the second round, I think the two things the Colts need is they need to draft an offensive tackle, because this year Costanzo thought about retiring. Thank God that he didn't, but it could still be in his mind a year from now. And, of course, a wide receiver. The Colts have just not been able to hit on wide receivers since T.Y. Hilton was drafted in the sixth round. Ever since then, about 7-8 years ago, the Colts have not been able to hit at that position, which is a key position in the NFL. So the Colts definitely will be looking for a wideout at some point this weekend.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like Chris Ballard, he's obviously a great GM. I do not believe that he'll trade back into the first round. That's just not kind of his style. If he like foregoes any type of trade in the draft, it's pretty much always going to be a trade back to accumulate more picks. That's just the type of guy he is. He's a big fan of, you know, building his roster in the draft and re-signing the guys after their rookie contracts and whatnot. But I think definitely wide receiver is our top need. Whether he goes with that with 32 or 44, I do not know. But I think we could also use another pass rusher. I would say if someone like Yetur Gross-Matos or AJ Espinosa, I feel like if one of those guys dropped to 34, I could see him pulling the trigger there because, you know, Ballard really is deep into O-line and D-line. And you got Justin Houston, who, don't get me wrong, he's got a couple more years left in him, but he's not that marquee franchise guy that's going to be with us for another 5-6 years. So one of those guys would be not too surprising if we picked him up 34. Someone like Neville Gallimore out of Oklahoma as a D tackle, I feel like we could get with 44 maybe. Because, you know, you say, oh, we got DeForest Buckner, we should just draft a receiver. But at the same time, you kind of want depth. And besides DeForest Buckner, there's really no other guys on that in that depth chart for interior D-line that just really pop out at you. And I think that if we got someone like Gallimore, we could really, really improve our D-line and make it one of the best coming just going forward. And but what I would like to see the Colts do is definitely in the second round take a corner, because I don't know about you, Zion. I'll let you have your take on this, but what do you think about the Colts corner situation?
Well, Kenny Moore, I think, is a good number one. I think everyone can pretty much agree on that. But, yeah, there's definitely it's an interesting situation. They brought in Xavier Rhodes, who up until this last season was one of the best corners in the league. And then in 2019, he completely forgot how to play the position. And so the Colts took a chance to sign him to a one deal. So I think that should be very interesting. Hopefully he can kind of get back to his old form. And the Colts last year, they drafted Rocky Asin in the second round. And he just to put it frank, he had a bad year. He was his rookie season. And so the Colts, that's an interesting corner. If one of those two guys that I just mentioned, being Rocky Asin and Xavier Rhodes, if one of those guys can step up and play, then the Colts will be fine at corner in 2020. But if they both flop once again, then the secondary for the Colts could be in danger. So I could understand why the Colts would draft a DB. I just think it might be in the third round rather than the second.
Yeah, I would agree with that. But with the corner situation, my take on it is Kenny Moore is, you know, undoubtedly a pretty good corner, but I don't see him as a number one to lock up that, you know, that number one receiver. He's more of a nickel corner, kind of like a Chris Harris Jr. And we've seen what happened with Chris Harris Jr. last year. He kind of like fell apart with the Broncos trying to be that number one guy. But I feel like Kenny Moore is a little bit too small to be primarily focusing on guys like a big stature like Julio Jones and Mike Thomas's of the league. With Rocky Sin, he definitely has a lot of potential. When I, you know, look at film at him last year, I don't see a guy who can't play or fit in the league. I see a guy that's just a little bit too aggressive and is just a little bit too handsy. He's a smart guy. He's going to learn those lessons. And I think he showed improvements toward the back stretch of the year. But going into Xavier Rhodes, he obviously was probably a top three corner, arguably, in 2017. The past couple of years, he's really fell off. So I definitely feel like the Colts need to take a corner in this draft somewhat early, because there's too many uncertainties. Because, you know, Rocky's seen he has the potential to maybe have a repeat of last year. Xavier Rhodes, with those lingering injuries, you don't know if those are going to affect him into next year. And yeah, losing a guy like Pierre Desir is also a big factor. So I think in the second or third round, the Colts need to take a corner.
I agree.
Ways out of the way. It's time for me to talk about the Saints. Obviously, They had a pretty great free agency. I'd say great, in my opinion. I mean, you got another solid receiver alongside Michael Thomas and veteran Emmanuel Sanders, who's going to take the load off Michael Thomas. Because we all know Drew Brees loves to connect with Thomas when it comes down stretching. Some players and some teams would easily catch on to that. And now that he doesn't have to take all on that stress, and now with the extra weapon in Sanders, it's going to be pretty interesting to see what happens in the red zones and tough situations in late games. But also, Malcolm Jenkins for the defense at our safeties position. He was with the Saints to start his career, won Super Bowl 44 with us. Then he went off, signed with the Eagles, and now he's come back after a long time over there. And obviously, he's had great connection with the defensive when he was there. Him and Sean Payton got along quite well. The defense kind of definitely fell off after he left, I would say. All those 7-9 seasons just didn't work out. Great offensive numbers from the Saints team. It's just the defense really lacked so hard. That's why now they really focused on the last couple of drafts in defense. But to go off on that, coming into the draft, I feel like with our 24th pick in first round, we should definitely take a linebacker. Now, I know a lot of people are talking about wide receiver and really just boost up that wide receiver core with Breeze at the quarterback, with Michael Thomas, Mayo Sanders, and maybe I would say Denzel Mims, Justin Jefferson, or even Jalen Reagor, who's a lot like a big deep zone threat. But I think linebacker would definitely be the move here. We definitely lost a couple of players like AJ Klein. He signed somewhere else or he retired, one of the two. And we all know Demario Davis had all pro right there last season, definitely coming in out of a shell and just really proved that he's one of the best right outside linebackers in the league. But I think Patrick Queen or Kenneth Murray would be my two. Queen, he really just came up this year starting for LSU. But Murray, he really has been solid, I would say, the past two seasons, averaging about over 100 tackles a game. Or not a game, 100 tackles a season. Whoa. Yeah, that'd be pretty crazy. I think he'd be number one pick. But when it comes down to the late drafts, a lot of people are talking about, oh, we should draft a quarterback. We should get, what's that guy's name from Oklahoma? Can't remember.
Jalen Hurts.
Or Jake Fromm. Maybe even Jordan Love at the 24th pick. But I think the window is definitely not closed, but it will soon. I would say in the next couple of years. It's just depending on if you want Breeze or if you want Hill or whoever you draft in this year or next year, because definitely I would say, I don't know if you guys would agree with me, but next year's draft class of quarterbacks would be kind of better. But it's just going to be pretty fun to see. And I think with the not many draft picks we have, because we traded our first round pick last year or second pick this year for Marcus Davenport, and now we don't have our second this year. A lot of people are talking about, oh, we should trade up late first round, get a receiver. I don't think we should do that. I think the right receiver would definitely fall in our lap, but definitely we would have to make a move at that second round spot to really solidify both our offense and defense positions.
Yeah, I feel like with the Saints, they definitely have less room for error.
Yeah.
Or they're like, you know, I just feel like this is, you know, you have Drew Brees coming in, and he's got, 2 years on his contract extension he just signed.
Potentially one.
Yeah. But anyways, I feel like you kind of, there's only two strategies to go about it. You take the quarterback of the future if you really love a guy. But at the same time, you kind of want to win. You're in win now mode, undoubtedly.
For sure.
So I feel like taking someone like a Patrick Queen or maybe a Justin Jefferson if he falls would be probably the best resort. And I feel like next year they have to be really aggressive looking for that quarterback of the future, because Drew Brees, who even knows if he'll play these next 2 years? He might play this year, call it quits, and move on to his next step of life, which is probably going to be commentating football games. But yeah, I feel like this year they definitely have to take kind of best available at the, you know, highest need of position.
Yeah, to go off what you said, this definitely win now mode. I cannot see them drafting quarterback first round. Now they may go in a different direction, say in the fifth or sixth in the later rounds, but it's just not what I could see coming from this team, because it's just going to be too quick for what's going to happen with Breeze. And now, don't get me wrong, Taysom Hill, I mean, he's a great player and all, but I just don't think he's going to be that guy who's like top in every category, just like how Breeze is every year. You only get one Drew Breeze. There's only one. You can't get another one like that. It's I just think we should hold off for sure. Just focus what we really need to help Breeze get the second ring. And if nothing works, then it's time to focus next year.
So quickly here, Kobe. So if Jordan Love were to fall to the Saints, would you want them to take him?
And at the 24th pick?
Yes.
Depending on what the availability is. If those two linebackers, Queen and Murray, are still available, I would have to choose one of those two over Love, for sure.
Okay, I respect that.
I feel like, I don't know if you guys could agree, I feel like the Colts are in a similar situation. They got a quarterback that has about two more years max left in them, and they're ready to win a title now. So it's kind of, do you want to waste that 30? I wouldn't say waste. Do you want to use that 34th pick on a guy like Jordan Love, who's going to have to develop and is not going to be the guy winning you games next year? Or do you want to take a wide receiver like a Michael Pittman or somebody of that nature that's going to really help you have that straightforward impact right away? It's kind of a trade-off. I mean, do you plan for the future, or do you just try your butt off to win these next couple seasons and just are kind of lost when you're – quarterback retires?
Yeah, that's definitely a decision. I think there's a few teams. You think you look at the Colts, you look at the Saints, like we talked about, you look at the Buccaneers, who, even though they got the big free agency hire, they got Tom Brady, who knows how much longer he can really play. Even maybe the Steelers, who knows if Big Ben is going to recover fully from that injury. So there's a lot of old quarterbacks in the league, which puts those teams that have them in strange positions.
Yeah, I could definitely see a lot of these quarterbacks in the young, like just some promising young talent going into those deep teams who obviously are not going to get their shot right away. It's just going to take time. If you really think that this is a can't miss prospect, then you definitely have to take him to replace those old quarterbacks from our childhood. But isn't that crazy that we're like these quarterbacks are going to be retiring in the next 3-4 years and we grow up watching them in their prime?
Yeah. It definitely is a crazy thing. And it just makes you kind of feel older in a way.
I guess, yeah. I mean, Eli's the first overall pick in the 04 draft. And the other two buddies are still there, Big Ben and Phil.
Yeah. All right, so there's a topic that I kind of want to hit on. Is, you know, we're going to keep it respectful around here, but who are kind of some guys that are you think are just kind of overhyped that's coming into this draft? That's really projected to go high, but you're like, man, I like this guy who's projected to go like two rounds after this guy.
I'll start. Let me see here. I'm trying to think, who do I think is kind of overrated? I don't want to say Joe Burrow because I think he is a little overrated, but I don't think he's a bust. You know what I'm saying? So yeah. I don't want to necessarily go with him. If I had to go with the one guy, I might even go with, and this is just off the top of my head, I'm going with CeeDee Lamb. I just don't know if there's necessarily anything special about him. I think maybe you could say his hands, but outside of his hands, he's not necessarily faster than most other guys. He's not necessarily the best route runner, but he does have really good hands. But I don't know. I just think his overall NFL success is going to come down to, is he in a good system or not? And those are always going to be risky players.
Yeah. As you're talking about Burrow, now, don't get me wrong, Burrow is a great prospect, great quarterback. He's definitely deserving of that first overall pick to go to the Cincinnati Bengals. I just don't see him going to be like this great player right out of the gate. He's going to be a player that it's going to take time to groom. And that's probably why they're keeping Dalton around. But we don't know that. But Burrow, I don't even, to be honest, I don't even think he's the best quarterback in this draft. if I had the choice, I would take Tua. But that's just based off my personal opinion over Herbert, Love, and, of course, Burrow. But another player that kind of is overhyped, I wouldn't say he's completely overhyped, but he just got a big gaining from moving in the draft stocks on Combine Day. That was Isaiah Simmons. He was a beast at Clemson, don't get me wrong, but some people have him going number 4 to New York, number 3 even to Detroit. I just don't see that happening whatsoever because those two teams really are in need of other things than just him.
What about you, Philip?
All right, for me, I'll say a guy I think is kind of overhyped is I'm just going off basically the situation. I don't think he's a bad quarterback, but I think that him and this, you know, the other guy I'm about to mention, them being in the same conversation is just not right. And that's Justin Herbert. I mean, you're talking about Tua Tagovailoa, a guy that's one of the most promising quarterback prospects we've seen in a few years. Really accurate, just phenomenal quarterback. Then you got Justin Herbert. I just don't feel like those guys are on the same tier yet. I mean, I get the injuries, but yet they're getting talked about as maybe Justin Herbert even going before him, which is kind of mind-blowing to me.
Go ahead, Kobe.
All right, just to go off that, say you're in the position of the Chargers or the Dolphins. You have this selection. You can either go Herbert or you can go Tua. And if you're the Dolphins, we'll start off with them. Knowing that they're a young team trying to build up, who are you looking for to build as your QB franchise player?
I'll say Tua.
Yeah, me too. I would say Tua just because from what I've seen from him, when he's healthy, he was, to me, like way, way, way better than Herbert was. I think Herbert, once again, I'm going to say this again, I don't want to sound repetitive, but it all just depends on the system he falls in. I just don't think he's consistent enough, necessarily not accurate enough. The physical things are there. He can run out the pocket. He can throw it really far. But as far as just his consistency, being able to make reads every down, I'm just not sure if that's there. And as far as Tua, I mean, the only thing that I didn't like about him was the fact that he continued to get hurt. That and the fact that he had great receivers around him, but that's not his fault. He just took advantage of that. So I would definitely take Tua if I were in the position and they were both still on the board.
Yeah. And backtracking what you said about Isaiah Simmons, Kobe, I just can't really see him as overhyped. I mean, he's got the build of a middle linebacker, but the athleticism as of a corner. I mean, and he played the best teams you can play in college football. You know, the ACC, Big Ten, SEC, you know, those are the top-tier programs, and he performed on every level. So I don't think he's overhyped.
I wouldn't necessarily say, like, from where he's – I would just mostly say, like, where he's going from, like, just the combine in general. Like, top three and no trades, I just feel like the Lions and Giants don't need that right now. They have more important stuff to attend to, if you understand that. Yeah. He's a great player, don't get me wrong. I just don't think those two necessarily should draft him or trade.
I mean, but at the same time, with those two teams you're mentioning, there's so many holes in that team. It's not like they have that middle linebacker in place that they're like, oh, we can just focus on something else. It's like kind of take the best available, and I think he is one of the best available.
I understand. But a lot of people who kind of just forget about this one player who potentially a lot of mock drafts are talking about is Derrick Brown. He hasn't been really mentioned a lot. Just people are thinking, oh, yeah, Derrick Brown, he's just going to go to the Panthers. He's going to go to the Chargers, or not the Chargers, or the Cardinals. What do you guys think about him and what his draft stock is going to be like on first day?
Okay, I want to go first on this. I absolutely think Derrick Brown is going to be a phenomenal player. I didn't want to call him my sleeper because I still feel like he's like a guaranteed top 10 pick. Mm-hmm. Right. So I didn't want to name him when we were talking about sleepers earlier, but I do think he's slightly slept on because I mean, for his size, I watched quite a few Auburn games just because they played a lot of close games last year. For his size, he is very athletic, he's very mobile, and he's very durable. He doesn't get tired easily, and Yeah, he's a huge guy. He can get to the quarterback fast, but he can also fill in the gaps in the run game. So I think that's one of the safer picks in this whole draft. Whoever gets Derrick Brown is going to get themselves a heck of a player.
Yeah, I would definitely vouch for that. But speaking of, you know, you say he is one of the most safest picks of the draft. Who would you guys say is maybe your top three, or just throw one name out there? Who do you think are the safest picks of the draft? Like, this guy is going to come in right away and make an impact.
Chase Young, definitely, for Redskins. I could definitely see that man just being a beast, sort of like Nick Bosa, but I couldn't, like, obviously not the level of how the team succeeded, but just individually.
Yes, I agree with that. Chase Young, and like I talked about earlier, I think Andrew Thomas, I think he's immediately going to make someone's offensive line a lot better.
So do you think he's the best offensive tackle in this draft, no doubt?
Me personally, yes, I do think that, but I'm not sure if he's going to be the first off the board.
Okay, okay. I feel like a lot of people also just oversee the safeties, Grand Delpit and Xavier McKinney. I feel like those two players obviously are just can't-miss prospects as well, but we'll just have to see. What do you guys think about how their draft stock's going?
If I'm not mistaken, I'm pretty sure McKinney really ran a pretty slow 40 time. I could be wrong, but I think that's why he's falling a lot.
Didn't he get injured on his 40? Like his first one?
Limp. I'm going to look it up real quick. You guys keep talking.
But yeah, Grant Delpit, as far as he goes, yeah, it's kind of odd. I mean, going in, another guy going into last year, going into his final year at LSU, his draft stock was borderline top 10 going into the season. And then now he's like late first round, pretty much. He's like late 20s as far as looking at mock drafts. So I'm not really sure why that happened. Watching LSU last year, I didn't really feel like he had a bad year. I mean, maybe it was a little disappointing, but I didn't feel like it was a bad year. So I definitely think he has the potential to be great if you put him in the right spot.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Yeah. I feel like just another player, in my opinion, Javon Kinlaw. Like, he's kind of on that Derrick Brown level. Like, they both have succeeded well in the college level. It's just going to see what happens over in the pros. But him is another player I would talk about, and also Clavon Chasen. I feel like he also is kind of like one of those safer picks because he can come in right away and be a pretty big important part of your defense.
Yeah. But anyways, guys, back to Xavier McKinney. His 40 time officially is a 4.63. So what are you guys' thoughts on that 40 time?
Pretty slow.
Yeah, for safety, that is slow. Watching him, he doesn't look that slow, but that I can see why teams are concerned about that.
I mean, you got players – I'm sure you guys could agree with this. They got the, you know, the speed on film, and they got the 40 time. Like, you see players, like, run a very, very modestly slow 40-yard time, and then you just see them running, just dashing around the field like a maniac. Like, so it's kind of, I mean, it's something to look into, definitely, but with his, you know, his accolades and what he's done in his college career, I feel like he definitely deserves to be more hyped up. But for me, guys, the safest pick for me, I won't say the top safest. I just want to mention someone who I think is up there that you guys haven't mentioned, and that's Jerry Jeudy. I think he's the best receiver in this class. He screams a very polished receiver. You know, Alabama is probably the best program in the nation. You guys can debate about that, but over the years they've shown to consistently bring out so many great prospects, and they have, you know, just a phenomenal tree of wide receivers. You think of, you know, like Julio Jones, Calvin Ridley's up there,
Cooper,
yeah, Amari Cooper's up there, even though Kobe just hates the guy.
What?
Really, every time we talk about Amari Cooper, he's overpaid.
Okay. That's just my opinion, though. I do think he is overpaid. I don't think the stats and the production meet $100 million. Like, that's Michael Thomas money. Michael Thomas is worth that money, what he did.
Yeah.
Yeah, but anyways, Jerry Jeudy, I feel like he's just really polished. Coming from a safe school, I guess you could say, when you're thinking about drafting a receiver. Just runs routes like a pro does, and he's just phenomenal.
I completely agree. I mean, I would draft him. I think he should be a top five draft pick. I'm with you on that, Phillip. He was projected to be before the year, and for whatever, like, literally nothing wrong happened in his last year at Alabama. But for some reason, he has plummeted in mock drafts that, you know, borderline top 10, top 15 type of player. But I think, I mean, to me, I don't love giving comps a lot because I just think it's a lot of reaching. But if I were to give him a comp, I would say he's Larry Fitzgerald with average hands. And obviously, that's probably the main thing that makes Fitzgerald great, his hands and his route running. So, but even Larry Fitzgerald, if he had average hands, that's still probably a Hall of Fame wide receiver. So I am really high on him.
What are you guys' thoughts on Kyle Duggar, the D2 player?
Well, I don't really have too many, just because, like you said, D2, don't know too much about him. I didn't watch him play live or anything. And so that's always going to be a huge risk drafting a D2 player, but it'll be interesting to see who takes that risk.
Yeah. I'm in the same boat as you, Zion. Because, you know, me being a Colts fan, I look at our positions of needs, and I look at the guys that are top of my board. And other than the past couple of days, I'll be honest, I haven't really been looking too deep into the safety position. But now they're talking about, oh, Malik Hooker might be traded, which I don't think is going to happen, by the way. But, yeah, I haven't really looked too much into it, Kobe.
All right. I just remember him. He kind of just bursted on the scene with his 40-yard dash.
What was his 40 time?
I'd have to look it up, but I'm pretty sure it was somewhere in like the 4.4 range. Just give me a quick moment.
All right, so okay. One guy that – sorry to cut you off, Zion, but this guy is just one of them. He's just a great hard-nosed running back. And I see him falling maybe into day 3, and that's Clyde Edwards-Helaire. I mean, he's a guy who shown an immense amount of toughness. He's a small guy, small in stature, but he runs really hard, kind of like a Tariq Cohen. I won't say he's as agile, but he just has that toughness in a small guy mold. But with his height at 5'8", he's not the fastest player in the world. I feel like he's just getting kind of slept on when he proves himself game in and game out.
Yes, I think it's just so hard for me to evaluate a lot of Alabama and LSU offensive players just because they all play with so much around them. And so it's easy to look great when the defense is focused on Joe Burrow, Justin Jefferson, and Ja'Marr Chase. And I'm not saying – when I say easy, obviously I couldn't do it, but I think there's a lot of running backs that could. And that's not me trying to bash Edwards-Helaire. That's just me saying, like, that just makes me question how good he would be if he didn't have those kind of guys, you know, near him in the offense. But I think as a third-round pick, I think that's a pretty solid third-round pick, maybe even a second-round pick.
Yeah. Duggar's, I got another thing. What was that, Kobe?
Duggar's 40 was a 4.49.
You kind of cut out. What'd you say, Kobe?
Duggar's 40-yard time was a 4.49.
4.9?
4.49. So, yeah.
That's pretty solid. But, all right, so I'm kind of gauged. I'm trying to really gauge this question in the right terminology. But what's a guy who kind of plays the same position as a top-tier prospect that's kind of getting overshadowed by that prospect? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Kind of like Okuda and someone like Damon Arnett.
I feel like, to be honest, sort of CeeDee Lamb. Or, you know, no, not CeeDee Lamb. What's the other guy's name? The second one from Alabama.
Ruggs.
I feel like Ruggs is kind of getting slept on besides those other two. Because we all know all about how Lamb was great at Oklahoma, and how Judy's just been a top guy in, over in Bama. I feel like he's just kind of getting, you know, the short shaft of it, just not getting enough attention when it comes to it.
Yeah, I mean, Kobe, I'm gonna stick with you with the wide receiver position, but I'm gonna go with T. Higgins from Clemson. He was really good at Clemson, so I don't understand why he's dropped as much as he has, especially being at Clemson, great wide receivers like Sammy Watkins and DeAndre Hopkins. So I don't really understand why he necessarily dropped as much and as far as he did, or as he is projected to, I should say, as the draft hasn't happened yet. So I could see him really coming along strong for whatever team he gets drafted to.
Going back to what you said, Kobe, about Ruggs, I wouldn't really put him into that boat because, I mean, what we're looking at, the third-ranked wide receiver this year in a lot of people's boards. And let's be honest, is he better than Lamb and Jerry Jeudy?
No.
So I just feel like he kind of fits perfectly, in my opinion.
Okay.
What would you say then, Phillip?
It's kind of... It's just kind of hard to think about because you got you throw that question out there, or then you have guys you're like, oh, him, but then at the end of the day, he's going to be like a first round prospect,
right?
At the end of the day, but I would say we pull up his name, close my tab, but he's a tackle. On the opposite side of Thomas.
Oh, what's that guy's name?
Is it like...
Georgia had one of the... Just overall had one of the better offensive line.
Exactly. And you used to hear about Thomas going like top 10, but this guy could fall into the second round potentially. I just can't...
Isaiah Wilson.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I feel like he kind of fits into that category. Damon Arnett, like I have my first example. You get someone like Jeff Okuda, who's just a phenomenal prospect, and you got a guy who has, you know, some things to work on. So he just kind of falls off. You know what I mean?
Yeah, for sure.
For sure.
I feel like also going back to what we were talking about at the very, very beginning with the cornerbacks, Diggs, obviously, but Terrell from Clemson, he is just, I feel like he doesn't get talked about enough as well, because everyone knows about Henderson, and everyone knows about Okuda, and Diggs is well known from going to Alabama. It's just, Terrell, I feel like he's not getting the right amount of talking for what he's been doing in Clemson.
You guys have any more last questions before you wrap it up?
Well, I feel like the obvious one would be like, when Cincinnati does take Burrow, do you guys think like, were there any doubt in their mind that they took the right guy, or like, do you think they could have second guessed themselves and should have took another one, like Tua or Herbert?
I think they might doubt it a little bit, but they've been so locked in on Burrow since pretty much like early December. So at this point, it is what it is. They're not going to backtrack. They're not going to draft someone else, and they're probably not going to trade it. So I think they're happy with what they're getting for now. We'll see what happens when players actually hit the field.
Yeah, I think it's a really safe pick for the Bengals. I don't think that it's a pick that's going to scratch any heads or catch anybody by surprise. But one thing I want to mention to you guys is his age.
Yeah.
What do you guys think? He's literally 24 years old.
24 years old. And
that's the same age as – I think he's actually like a month older than Lamar Jackson.
Yes, older? He's older than Lamar.
He was in college for 5 years, right?
Yeah, he did all 5 years in college. Redshirted freshman year at Ohio State. Did 2 more years at Ohio State. Transferred to LSU, got the immediate transfer, and did the 2 years with the Tigers.
Now, this is a league where we're seeing people retire earlier and earlier. You think of marquee athletes like Kuechly and Luck and Gronkowski until he came back, which is another discussion. Retiring really early because all of the research that's being put in on, you know, like CTE and, like, you know, all the brain damage and just lingering effects, hearing for the veterans. But if you're, I mean, how many years can you get in this guy? We're not seeing guys last as long as Tom Brady's and Phillip Rivers and Drew Brees's anymore. So, I mean, I think it's kind of an underrated factor that they should put into taking this guy.
I feel like you could see it as two ways. One, you see it as this guy's pretty old. I mean, you don't know how much longer he would want to. He's going to be in the league at maximum maybe 16 years if you're lucky. But on the other hand, you're not drafting a guy who's, you know, still young and still has to, like, really learn how to be an adult or, like, professional athlete in a sense. We all know what happened really with Johnny Manziel, because that didn't go over well in Cleveland. I feel like he's just, you don't have to worry about the respect and the responsibility more with a 24-year-old quarterback.
Yeah, but my thing is, you guys are.
Here's the way I see it. I see it like, even if they don't play for 20 years, like some of those guys you mentioned, or even 18 years, I think even if they play for, let's say 14 or 15, if Burrow plays for 14 or 15 years, you'd still be okay with that. Like, if Tom Brady retired 5 years ago, it's not like the Patriots would have regretted anything. Like, they still would have been very happy with the Tom Brady era. And so, I think as long as he's good, that'll be okay. But the one concern that I have with drafting a guy that is that old is that you look at a guy, you look at Tua, who is only 21. So, he's 2 or 3 years older than Tua. And so, even though he might be better than Tua today, by a slim margin, by the time Tua is that age, he's going to catch up and he could possibly surpass Joe Burrow. So it's not necessarily how long Burrow's going to play that's the concern for me. It's just, is he going to develop more and more, or is he maxed out because of how old he is?
Yeah, and I would definitely agree with that. The way I kind of see it is, I mean, let's be honest with ourselves. How many rookie quarterbacks can you honestly say go in there in the first couple of years and just light it up? You got exceptions like Mahomes and Jackson, but there's a lot of, you know, top tier first round picks that take 3 or 4 years to develop.
Last year, Daniel Jones, Dwayne Haskins.
Yeah. So, and you take someone like Joe Burrow, who's already 24, so we're talking about potentially a guy that's going to be 28 or so before he's fully developed. And like Zion said, I mean, how much more can he grow? Kind of like a Brandon Whedon in a way. Yeah. I mean, he's significantly older than Joe Burrow was when he got drafted, but he was a good prospect coming out. But you didn't really see as much growth as you would in someone like Tua, who's really young.
Yeah, I definitely agree. So, I mean, that's definitely something that's probably in Cincinnati's mind, right? They're just thinking about, what if he doesn't grow as much as we think that he will? That is a concern.
Yeah, I feel like that's what pretty much gives the edge to Tua, because he may be hurt now, and what those injuries may cause him later down on in the future, we don't know yet, but just the fact that he's 3 years younger than Burrow is going to be pretty exciting for when he turns 24 and see what happens, and looking back on this draft class in 3 years and saying if Cincinnati really did win the draft, or maybe they should have taken Tua instead of Burrow. We don't know that. Yeah. We'll just have to figure that out soon.
All right. I have one more question to throw out there for you guys. We can just keep talking and going if you want. But there's a thing I've been thinking about. You know, you think teams obviously draft the guy that they want. But when you're thinking of the number one pick, all the speculations, all the media, because that's like the biggest pick of the draft, do you think teams kind of fluctuate more so is like what their fans and everybody's saying to get, or just that number one guy?
I feel like it'd be more not the fans, but like mostly what really delivers to the team the most, to what, how long it's going to take for you guys to win it all, and really like what this prospect brings to the table.
Yeah, because I mean, how many teams do you say that take risk with that number one overall pick? like you said earlier, I don't remember who it was, Kobe or Zion, mentioned that, you know, Joe Burrow, it's been kind of a lock since like maybe December that he's going to the Bengals. So, I mean, it just kind of throws you off.
Yeah, no, definitely I think there's a lot of pressure that comes with that because that usually happens. Maybe it's even earlier than December. Like a guy like next year, we know unless something catastrophic happens, Trevor Lawrence is going to be the number one pick. And we've known that now for almost two years. Right. And so that comes with that on the team and the player. And so I think a lot of the times, if I ever had the number one pick as a GM, I would be very tempted to trade it just to relieve that pressure and maybe get some more draft picks so we can get multiple players. Like, if I were Cincinnati, I'd trade it. At this point, we know that's not really a possibility. But if I were them, I would trade it because there's just too much pressure. Unless I know we have a for-sure guy, unless I know we have a Peyton Manning type of player that everyone knew was going to be great, then there's a good chance that I'd want to get rid of that number one pick.
Yeah. And honestly, Zion, let's face it. If you obtain the number one pick, you either got really freaking lucky in a trade from previous years, or you're just the worst team in the NFL. Yeah. So going off that, I think trading the number one pick in those top five picks is, I think that's really smart. Accumulate a later first round pick, maybe two other second round picks, and really build your franchise. Because let's be honest, picking number one every year, yeah, you'll get some great guys potentially, but are you going to build that brand and build a very young roster with an abundance of draft picks that are high up quality guys? I mean, if we're going outside the fourth round here, I mean, you know, there's certain guys that have been drafted way late. Think of like Tom Brady and stuff. They're exception, but when you're getting to like your fifth round guys, you're talking about guys who really have to earn that spot on the roster.
Right. I definitely agree with that whole thing that you said. Those guys are kind of more hungry, and they might be actually more talented. Who knows?
Yeah, it's just coming with the factor that they have that in the back of their head. Like, hey, I wasn't chosen like one of these guys on the roster. Like, say, I don't know, say the Bengals. Like, you're not a Joe Burrow kind of player. You're drafted in the fifth, sixth round, but you're going to give your heart out, and you're still going to come to play the game that you love every single day. And prove to the Bengals that it was a good decision to keep you on the team and draft you.
Yeah, but what the argument I'm trying to say, or the point I'm trying to make is, if you have the base, or say you're the Bengals, you have, I'm not sure they're like actual picks, like in the later rounds. Say what you have the first, the 33rd, the you know, you just go on and on. But would you rather, you know, have one guy per round? As opposed to like trading your pick and having like multiple guys in the second round, might not be this, you know, like premier players, but they're guys who nonetheless are great and will be better for building a franchise, in my opinion.
I would definitely say you don't always have to have a pick, like one pick per round. I mean, it just goes to show that multiple teams would like to trade those picks to get a player in return or just another draft pick for the next year's draft or this year's draft. It's kind of a win-lose situation. Obviously, you lose that pick, but you also win in getting the other pick and the players you receive from it.
Yeah, but then you come across, like, when do you cross the line of, you know, making a smart trade and getting a more, like, more draft picks than trading back and getting draft picks? You're like, is it even worth it at this point?
Yeah, I can see what you mean. Like maybe oversaturating, getting too many picks and just for no reason. But I think that whole thing just depends on, you know, if you have a guy, if they say you have the first pick and the eighth pick wants to trade up and you have a guy you think, like the Colts a couple years ago, they had the third pick. They knew the whole time that they weren't going to draft the quarterback. They wanted the whole time they wanted Quentin Nelson, and they knew Quentin Nelson was still going to be there at six. So they made that smart trade with the Jets, and they still got their guy. So it really just depends on what players you need and want and where you think they're going to be drafted. So it just differs from every team and every year.
Yeah, that's why I think it's you know, that year, man, there's the top five teams besides, like, the Colts. They are all so hungry for a quarterback, and you take it's kind of like a manipulation factor. It's like, oh, yeah, we're not going to draft Darnold, but Jets, if you really want this guy, I'm thinking of trading the pick to another team. Right. So that is kind of twisting their arms, forcing them to give it more value. And, you know, Colts were just in a phenomenal situation back then and is just probably the best trade I've seen in a few years.
That kind of could work out this way if you think about it with the reports of the Dolphins and the Lions. Because the Dolphins, they're trying to trade for that third pick, but they don't want to give up that fifth pick. But ultimately, if you do have to give up that fifth pick, the Lions pretty much know that, like, the Giants, they wouldn't take a corner, and obviously the Dolphins would want to get that quarterback. It's just kind of playing off the same thing the Colts did, as you guys said.
Yeah.
And one last way to think about that is, say, you know, you're really high on Justin Jefferson, and you're in place to take him, but you're like, shoot, I got someone like Jalen Reagor who I can get 10 spots behind. I mean, you take someone who is more established like Justin Jefferson, and you pass on him for a guy that's not as established as Jalen Reagor. So, like, did you mess up, or are you making the right decision?
Yep, I agree.
Yeah, it's just really based off of, like, the availability of which player and what really fits you most. Obviously, both players are definitely talented. It's just, like, what do you want? Do you want the speed of Reagor, or do you want, like, the size and build of Jefferson?
Yeah. It's just all about your priorities, man.
Pretty much, yeah. Anything you guys wanted to add on before we wrap this thing up?
I feel like I've covered everything I really wanted to touch base on.
Yeah, I think we did pretty good job. I think we hit everything that we needed to hit for the pre-draft. We'll make sure to give you guys more insight after this first round, all these speculations actually pans out. But we appreciate everybody that's going to be tuning into this podcast. Really appreciate it. Any last thoughts, Kobe?
Stay safe. Stay inside.
Yeah, for sure. Just what Zion said. Please stay safe. Please stay inside unless absolutely necessary. Our plan is to get this one out to you before the draft starts and do a recap of every day, day one, day two, and day three. It's going to be a pretty exciting ride, and we hope all of you are here to listen to it. Any last words?
Oh, thank you, guys.
Peace.
See you guys.